that the Lord would help us. I do realize the sensitivity of the subject tonight. I never had very many problems in my life that ignoring them, wishing they go away and them go away. And I feel like the urgency and the value of our souls and the urgency of our time and what it's at stake makes it relevant for me to speak on it tonight. I had a very, very interesting experience with this subject. Early spring of 2010, the Lord laid this on my heart, and I done it like I do most messages. I prayed about it, asked the Lord when it was appropriate and how the Lord wanted it to be done, and I opened my heart to it. It first came, my mind was, you've got to be kidding me. I would never put myself in a situation like that. But as the Lord dealt with me, I said, yes, Lord, to that. And when I opened my heart to it and asked the Lord when it would be, Lord, let me to know it'd be Monarch. And I assumed it would be last year. And I thought the Lord may make a special way for me to come. My wife was with child. And I dealt with that, and it come closer, and I realized that the Lord wasn't going to allow that to happen. I prayed, and the Lord assured me that there would be a time, if the Lord seemed fit, to be able to speak about it. It was very interesting. I'd opened my heart, you know, to meditation. It would come to my mind. I'd opened my heart. You know what it is to open your heart to something. You open up and to receive. I'd open up to the Lord. And when I did, a flood would come of scripture, of thought. And I would try to trail it out. And I would trail it out to the end, but I would say there was so much more back there. You know, I would get on the division side of it. No schisms in the body. And I'd run it, and my mind would be overwhelmed with it. And then here would come a flood of not respecter of persons. And then I'd run that down to the end. And then I'd try to trail it out, and I'd never get to the end before this other about loving your brother would come in. And the flood was endless. And I said, Lord, I can't deal with it. Every time I opened my heart, it was too much. It was too much for me to take. I couldn't trail it to the end of it. It's overwhelming, folks. It's overwhelming. Racism. The root word's race. It means having a common origin. It can be anything in the general sense. It can be horses, dogs, anything. It's a race of dogs, a race of horses. But it means From a origin, the same origin. It means that the schism gives it a particular meaning to separate by race. And again, I say I understand the sensitivities of it, but we're in a desperate pursuit tonight for our souls. This affects every one of us. Every one of us are deeply affected by this. It is something that the world is affected with. And the world is always wrong, folks. They are always wrong. Even in the best attempts that they have to solve the solutions that, or come up with solutions to problems, they are always wrong. Because they look at it wrong and have a wrong view of it. And therefore they try to get to the end of it in a wrong way. But I want to say to us tonight in the beginning of this message, God has the solution for us. There is a solution for this. And we got to realize that this is an overwhelming thing. Do you realize tonight that the Church of God, and the Church of God message, the whole fabric of it, has to do with this. You know, our message has always is and will always be that all people everywhere, no matter who you are or where you're at or what you are, you have access to the kingdom of God. Not up here, down here. You are as an equal, an heir of Jesus Christ. We are the message about the universal gospel, a universal gospel that is relevant to all times and ages, to all people. To all people. As I dealt with the Lord about this, and this overwhelming flood would come into me that was too much to trail down, I said, Lord, how could you preach a message like that? And the Lord allowed me to know that He did not want me to trail to the ends of it all. He told me, Marty, preach your heart. So that's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to preach my heart. Because I have something in my heart to my brethren. And I don't want the devil to take advantage of us. When I was first called to the ministry, Brother Tony preached a message. And in that message, he preached one of those messages about who's going to stand in the gap. Where's the man? That type thing. In that message, you've heard me tell this, probably many of you have. I said in that message that I looked around the congregation there at home at Greenbank, and I tried to fit everybody else into that message. And I tried to make it apply to them. This one, no, don't apply to him. I don't know how what he's saying fits that fellow over there. I don't know how. But I remember in there having a certain feeling about the Lord calling me and me saying, Lord, I don't know how I could possibly do it. I don't feel capable of doing it. But that's what was on me. Sometime after that, Lord gave me a dream. In my dream, I looked down in a great valley and there was a great dam, and below the dam, there was the saints, the people of God. Nobody particular, just the saints. And the water was beginning, the great wall was a brick, and between the mortar, there was water coming through, starting to come through, and the people was beginning to move around and being very fearful of what was about to happen, saying the dam's going to break and will be overtaken. And then in my dream, someone looks and says, there's Brother Marty. He can stop the water. And in my dream, I felt what Brother Tony preached. Oh, you've got the wrong man. Not me. But they said, please help us. And in my dream, I said, if I can, I will. And I went and was able to just, in my dream, I came by and just touched the wall and the water would stop as I touched it. And I went by, it wasn't an exaltation of some great deed. It was of humility. I felt so humble that I was able to do that. I woke from that dream and said, Lord, I'll do it. By your help, if I can help in any way. There's been a rare few times in my ministry from that time to this that I felt so strong about that. I minister in a lot of different ways. But tonight I feel that very keenly. If I can help at all, Lord, I'm willing to do it. And knowing what it may be, I'm willing to do it. I want to draw our attention to it. And want us to understand what it will cost us. And what the blessing will be of getting it right. So you pray for me tonight. I'd like to look at a scripture under Psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Pay attention to this verse. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I don't suppose that the writer of this psalm use this as an I, because there was people that assumed that they made themselves. That would be preposterous. But he did say it so that you and I would make a contrast of what it means, not that you didn't make yourself, that God made you. God's responsible for it. God made you what you are. And when I realized that God made me what I am, and He made you what you are, it alters all my thoughts about it. Because all I can know and to understand is that whatever you are, if God made me like you are, I would be like you are. True? Then how can I possibly draw a line there then? It's God that made us, not we ourselves. I have no ability to make myself any more than you do. And I look and say a certain faction or group of people is a certain way. The only way to keep me from being that way is that God didn't make me that way. If I dare say that all of them's that way, then all it had to do for me to be that way is God make me that way. And I look and see that, folks. It changes the way I think and what I do. It's not we that made ourselves. It's God that made us all. God made us all. The message, the idea of people, you, Oriental, of all persuasions, of African, of all any people, everywhere is the great tapestry of God. People, all just people. We're all together of a common origin. Am I scripturally wrong to say that we're all of a common origin? I'm amazed at this. When I was in biology class, we did this little test where he pricked our finger and checked our blood type. I turned out to be an AB positive, which is a universal receiver. When they don't give blood, O's a universal donor. AB's a universal receiver. Your blood would flow through my body without rejection. All of yous. All of yous. But more than that, more than from Adam or through Noah, if you will, through Christ. He tore down the middle wall, a petition. He tore it down. There is none, folks. There is none. And when we allow the devil to build one, we lose who we are. We should lead the world right now. They should be looking at the church of God saying, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. It won't be, and I'm not getting political here or getting into it. It won't be the world's methods, folks. It won't be by making laws. It won't be by making rules. It won't be affirmative action for all that it did or didn't do. It will be because the love of God really reigns in my heart, and you're my brother. You're my brother. We're born together with it. You're my brother. That's what makes it real. That's what makes it right. I didn't make myself. I'm going to give you my heart tonight. I didn't make myself. And if the Lord would have made me another color, I would thank Him for it tonight. I did not make myself. I was born, someone's going to laugh at me from talking, but tomorrow is my birthday. I told some I may try to find a way to let everybody know that. Tomorrow is my birthday. I was born to Dorland and Carol Clevenger, July 19th, 1962, and didn't have a thing to do with it. It could have been Muhammad over in the Middle East. I didn't choose it. I didn't do it. I didn't make myself. And you didn't make yourself either. And if you look at me and say I'm a certain way, God made me. God made me. And you pray for me that I'll make heaven. Lord, help us tonight. We'll look at another scripture. Oh, Lord, help me here. John 15. 15th chapter of John. 8th verse. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's my message tonight. It's my heart. We lay down our lives for one another. Regardless. Folks, it's going to take something. The old devil's worked hard. There's a lot of things that cause bitternesses in life. Troubles. Problems. God's got the solution. It's going to cost us heaven if we don't. It's also going to cost us something very valuable right here. I hate to see it. This is my heart. Let's lay our lives down for one another. I know there's hard things. I was talking to my great aunt one time. My great uncle had passed away. They hated black people. I said to my great aunt, she told me, she said, your great uncle despised black people. I said, I know that. Why? Well, she told me, grew up, been up in Baltimore back in the 50s. A lot of gangs, those kind of things. Said he just learned to. I said to her, he didn't know my brethren. I said, I worship God. Best people in the world. I said it with conviction. And she said, Marty, I don't doubt it. I risked something there to do that. Those things are built. I wish it wasn't that way, folks. I really wish that it wasn't that way. I wish I could say that there would be no ignorance in this world. You know what I'm talking about. My perspective. I remember somebody a lot of times telling me, well, I ain't prejudiced at all. Well, I even have a black friend. Treat him just like normal people. I wish there wasn't ignorance, but I'm going to tell you something. We will never erase it from our world. I wish that there was never any cause to ever mention the word again. But it's going to exist in this United States of America. But the Church of God can still lead it through it. We ought to be the ones that they look to and say they love one another genuinely. They give themselves to one another. They would die for one another regardless of their race. They would die for one another. They give their lives for one another. My heart yearns. Oh, if you could feel what it feels. If you could feel what it feels. As a minister, I went to congregations all over the place. And I'm being frank with you. I'm going to be honest. And I'm doing what the Lord taught me. I'm going to give you my heart. I've had the opportunity. Brother Lowe was up in Tulsa. Brother Lowe's invited me up there for meetings before and treated me like royalty. My heart is bound to them. Bound to them. In a way that I can't even express to you how I feel about them. Other than it's just like I feel about God's people everywhere. I have this yearning and heart when they hurt and long. And I hate to know that and to feel because I feel some things sometimes. See, I grew up small. I weighed 89 pounds when I started high school. 89 pounds. A freshman in high school. That's halfway through the year, Brother Carl. I had bright red hair and freckles. And I got picked on relentlessly. My name was Marty, and that has rhymes to it that people like to rhyme to little red-headed boys. And I was tormented. But I didn't create myself. And had I done it, I'd have been 6 foot tall and had big broad shoulders and I wouldn't have had any freckles and I definitely wouldn't have had red hair. Folks, I've honestly looked in the mirror in my life many, many times and said, if you only get one life, then why do I have to be this way? I hoped desperately that there was some kind of life after this and keep going while they call that, that you have another life coming. I wanted it to be that way. I hated myself. I looked at myself and because people made fun of me. Now, my sister don't have my complex. She liked her red hair. They didn't pick on girls like that. They'd rub my head for luck. And I was little and couldn't do anything about it. And I hated myself. I hated myself. God created me this way and I got to live in a world this way? It wasn't God. God created me. You know what that really did for me though? It built something in me. And as soon as my hair started changing colors, as soon as I didn't care. My hair ain't that red now. I say that to say this. People feel things. Folks, we're going to be responsible. I want to tell everybody in here with young children, especially about from 5 to 7, 8 years old. I know things about people that they wish I had. If they knew I knew, they'd wish I didn't. And you know how I know? They're children. Children's got an amazing way of saying what mom and dad's doing. And what mom and dad's saying. And how mom and dad's acting. You know what helped me in my life from the time I was little? Was a grandmother that believed God and believed that believed all people was the same. And you know, she made little comments in our lives that stuck with me all my life. She loved the saints in Akron. She never called them anything other than the saints in Akron. It was years before I didn't know anything about the saints in Akron. And I found out that my grandmother went up there with the black saints in Akron. She loved them people and called them saints and they were the best people in the world. And I found out after a while that there was a black congregation up there. My grandmother was going up there and doing that. And you know what she always said? She said, "We're all the same. We're all the same," she would say. "You're all the same." Do you know that God in my heart? And it's true. There are some things we need to do. We need to make sure. We need to say the things right. We need to do the things right. We do need some sensitivities. We do need to do this. We got too much to risk, folks. The whole fabric of the Church of God has to do with this inclusive of all people. And when it comes to the work of God, it isn't based on anything except for the call of God. When God puts His calling and approval on it, that's enough to say, "Amen, Lord. Amen. I accept it. No matter where it comes from, it's God on it. And God can do it." Now, the world may try to set up us, do so many here, so many there. I'm telling you the truth tonight, in love, that ain't going to work in this system. We need to have confidence in one another, brethren. We need to start laying down our life for one another. And it's going to cost something. It's going to cost something. My mom told me back when she was a little girl. It was a touching story to me. She told me when she was a little girl that there was a little community church down at the end of the holler. They lived the last place up in Holler. And down at the end of the holler was a little community church that they went to. Oh, my mom was born about 1942, and she said she was 7, 8 years old. So this was at the end of the 40s. She said she can remember some black family came there. Now, this is the black people didn't live in our area anywhere. Some black folks come through, and she said she remembered because in the middle of the night, they had to get out of bed, and they slept on the floor, and the company got the beds, and they kept them there. But the pastor of this place come in before daylight to usher the black folks out that they brought to the congregation because of the way the world viewed it. Folks, I can't help the world. Best thing I can do is live right and preach to them and bring salvation to them. I can't help the world. That's the way the world felt. That's the way it was in those days, in that time. And they risked something there. They risked something, but they reached out. I'm going to tell you tonight, with all my heart, I feel like there's something to die for. And it's you. It's you. There is something to risk my life for, and it's you. This is scriptural. This is what Jesus did for us. He died for us. He loved us. He gave himself for us. And he wants us to give ourselves to one another. Willing. Willing to do it. I know the old stories where you get your house burnt, but I'm going to say for me and mine, come fire or not, I'm going to trust God and I'm going to help my brother. I'm going to lay my life down for it. That's what I'm going to do. And I feel like it's right to give it to God. Whatever the danger is, I'm going to do it. But on the other hand, when it comes on the other hand, if I felt like I was putting my brother in harm's way, I sure would avoid it if I could. Because I love him. You see my point? You see what I'm trying to say? That's what love will do. That's what the love of Christ in our heart will do. That's what's going to break down this when we're able to really look one another in the eye and really with the heart of Christ say, you're my brother, I'll die for you. I don't have to understand everything about you, but I'll die for you. I love you. I want to give myself to you. I am amazed with the stories. They're touching to me. The stories of people that saw other people in harm's way. During World War II, there was a lot of this happened. The Jews were greatly persecuted. They were being slaughtered. There was people. What drove them to do it? But there was people that knew that if they got caught, giving them the refuge, giving them food, sheltering them, that their lives would be made miserable unto death. Why did they do it? Something came out of their hearts. I can't stand by. There was many pastors of that era through the late 30s that when all that was rushing in and the great spirit of conquering was there and all this and it was moving through and all this was happening, there was pastors and people that rose up in the name of Jesus and stood between that thing and gave their life for it. They were killed because they said, that's wrong. That's wrong. And they stood and they were massacred and killed. And other people took people in at the perils of their own life to do it because they said, that's wrong to do that. And my heart goes out to them and I'm reaching out. I give myself to this. There's something bigger than we are tonight. Folks, if you understand me, this is the fabric of who we are. We lose it. We lose it all. We lose it all. Church of God is inclusive to all people everywhere of all time. To bring them to one body, to one thing. A plea. This is not done in groups, folks. It's about me. This will be overcome when you deal with it. When you deal with it. When we're willing to totally deal with it with here. This is the Bible way. It's not rules. It's not laws. It's not by ministers' meetings. It's when I deal with it in my heart. And I'm willing to do what the Lord wants me to do in it. No greater love. No greater love. Where is the greatest love found then? People are giving themselves to all kinds of causes in the world and giving their lives to it, dying for it. People are dying for causes. Here's one for you to die for. Give your life for. Die for your brother. Be willing to do it. Lord, help us tonight. We want to look at another scripture. I think it's found in the 10th chapter of Luke. Oh, y'all help me out. I'm looking for the Good Samaritan story. All right, 30th verse. I'll go back and pick up the whole thought. It says in the 25th verse, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answered and said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Is that what we're going to be guilty of doing? Willing to justify myself, who am I responsible for? Who am I responsible for? What am I responsible for? Jesus made it pretty plain here to this guy. Who's my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jericho, or from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side." I hope you get the real image of this. What difference would it have made if he'd have walked a foot beside him and went on by? You got to understand human nature. That was an act of getting away from my responsibility. I don't see him. The further I can get away from, the better I can feel in my soul. A man of responsibility. He had the responsibility of it. And here he was in this place of need. That signifies this walking to the other side. I'm not responsible. I say tonight that God says you are. God says you are responsible for this that's going on in this day in our world. You're responsible. I'm responsible. We're all responsible. We're responsible to sow the seeds to our children. We are responsible to teach it the right way. We are responsible. This our day. He walked to the other side. The priest did. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Again, he deferred. He deferred the responsibility of what he should do. But a certain Samaritan, isn't this a wonderful story? I mean, think about all that this holds here. Now, Jesus just had to tell this Jew, this guy that asked this question, he just had to tell him that that was a Samaritan, didn't he? got right down to where it's at now. He had to tell him. He couldn't have said it was another Jew. He had to tell him that it was the most despised person this guy could think of. Jesus cut across it. He cut across it and said there was a certain Samaritan. As he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, When I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. I think the spirit of this, the spirit of it, is what we all need. That Samaritan, no doubt, had been called a lot of filthy names. He risked so much to do what he done. He probably risked favor of the people that was in his world, no doubt. He risked what this guy might even think or do. He risked it to do it. But I can't help thinking that the spirit of the thing had to have touched that man that needed help so bad, because he loved him. He didn't walk to the other side, and he gave himself. He gave himself to this man. He gave him of his substance. He gave him of his time. He gave him of his heart, of his love, of his pity, of his mercy. He gave to him. What did Jesus call us to? What's the answer to all of our problems? What do we need most of all? We need the love of God in our hearts and great pity towards all. Understanding for sure. Merciful above all. Willing to give. Willing to die. There's a lot of things in this life I wouldn't die for. I remember a conversation that Brother Tony and his son had one time. Chad said, I love pizza. I don't know if he remembers that or not. Chad said, I love pizza. Brother Tony said, that's awful strong words for pizza. I remember the thoughts that developed from that little bit that they had there. I thought, I like pizza too. But when I eat it late at night, I get heartburn and can't sleep. I don't love it that much. I don't love it to that kind of point. I wouldn't die for pizza. It's enjoyable. I don't know anything that I'd really say I'd suffer pain for. I wouldn't suffer pain. I don't want to do it. I don't suffer pain for anything like that. There's something, there's a cause, folks, worth giving your heart to, giving your life for. It's one another. It's my brother. If we're going to go on from this place, and I'll challenge every one of us, because I really believe in my heart. I see what it is. But I also see what it can be. True and genuine. Us trusting one another. I was in Miami, Florida one time. Hardly anybody there knew me. Brother John was there, I believe. Brother Kimball was there. I got up to preach. One of the brothers leaned over to Brother Kimball and said, who is this guy? And Brother Kimball said, I'd trust him with my back. He meant that I could turn my back on him. I trust him. And the brother said, okay, all right. Folks, we need to love one another that way. We need to give ourselves to one another. That we can break down these things. It's hurting our message. It's hurting our call. You know, I've drawn back from most of my life living for the Lord and with the saints, most of it. I've been able to say from the depths of my heart, I can say to people, this is a place that we're all just alike. And sometimes in later years, it's hard for me to do it. I'm still saying it's there, but it's hard for me to say that we're seeing eye to eye. You know what I'm saying? I'm giving you my heart tonight. We're not, when this is there, we're not all that we're supposed to be. We're just not. Lord, help us tonight. I see what it is, but I see what it can be too. My heart burns for my brethren. I didn't mean to just pick out groups, but my brethren everywhere. I think you're gold. I love being with you. I love worshiping with you. I love what you are and what God made you. I embrace you tonight with all my heart. I don't want it ever in my lifetime to be broken. I pledge that to all of you tonight. I want this to be what God wants it to be. And in Jesus, a little skin pigment ain't getting it. He meshes us together in love. Folks, I think we should lead the world in it. I think the world should be looking and saying, there's a group, there's a people, and they got it right. And that nothing superficial is nothing in laws and nothing in rules. But God has wrote it on their heart in the great gospel plan. I believe that we've left souls in the balance because it's not totally that way, the way it can be. I hope you get my message tonight and my burden. I've left off so much that can be said. Wasn't my intention to go chasing it down. You know them all, the arguments. But if we each as individuals that care will seek God and help us to get it right in our hearts, it'll be fixed. It'll be fixed among us. And I believe that we can look one another in the eye with the fullest of intentions and be able to say, you're my brother. We do it together. You pray for me.